Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
In Acts chapter 13, I want to get to the point before sitting down, because this would be the text of ordained to eternal life. Last 2 weeks, we spoke a lot about God's people and their watchmen, and how the leaders of God's people at that time had led them astray and caused so many miseries, or led to so many miseries for the kingdom of Israel, the nation, what was left of Judea, and how they'd suffered. And that certainly is no different in this day and age, because the spirit of Antichrist is here. Many Antichrists have entered into the world. They're not always manifest as Antichrist, many times manifested as people of God. Even Satan himself appears to be a messenger of light at times. John said they were not of us, for they were part of us, but they went out from us, manifesting that they were not of us. In the book of Acts, we find the Acts of the Apostles and how they went forth in that day. Do not have to mention that they had powers that we do not have, because that was given to the Apostles, and the gifts God gave to them for signs died with those apostles. But in Acts 13, we find the man, the Apostle Paul. His name here is still being called Saul. This is the man that Christ, God in the flesh, struck down on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, and told him that he would be a messenger to the Gentiles. He would turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God, from darkness to light, and we will explain, I hope, before we sit down, that Christ did that work, not Paul. Paul was a vessel that God used to show his glory. In Acts 13, I'm actually going to start in 14 to take a text to get to our text, but let's bring us to this quickly and make a point. You see Barnabas and Simeon, you see Barnabas, this Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. As near as I can tell in reading those who have researched the time of this was about 7 or 8 years after the Lord Jesus Christ struck Paul down on the road to Damascus, causing him to be reborn, causing him to be regeneration, to be regenerated. Regeneration is what we call it. When God gave him life, revealed himself to him through Jesus Christ, and sent him forth to be a messenger of light to the Gentiles, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now this is 7 or 8 years. We spend a lot of time going through here, and I want to move forward. I just want to make a point. God doesn't work on our timetable. God works on his. We often wonder why things linger, why God suffers things so long, but God is a God of wisdom. God is a God of justice, and God is a God of perfection. His time is perfect. This is some 7 or 8 years later. We still see Saul in the background. Barnabas is mentioned first, showing him as the leader. And they were separated by the Holy Ghost. They went to Cyprus, and they preached at these places. And I want to make a point in verse 9, we began to see Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on this deputy, Sergius Paulus, And on the sorcerer who withstood Paul and Barnabas in the gospel. But my point is here, 7 years later, 8 years later, that God is taking Saul and fulfilling the promise to us that he made for Paul being the messenger to the Gentiles. Now Paul is in the forefront as the leader. And as you'll see, beginning in verse 14, which we find a different text, they were preaching to the Jews. They came from Perga, they came to Antioch, which is in Pisidia, if I pronounce that correctly. Pisidia is not a part of Jerusalem, it's in Asia Minor. It is above the Mediterranean Sea, northeast of the land of Israel, or what was Israel. So he's not speaking in Judea, but nonetheless he's still speaking to Jews. Remember, the Jews had been dispersed. And went into the synagogue, because there is, and teaches us, that God has a place for his people no matter where they are. Went into the synagogue where they would teach the law. They would read and teach the law. This was the Jewish custom. This was the Jewish worship. They went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down, and after the reading of the law. That is all you're going to get in the law. That is all you're going to get in the law service. In the law service is the reading of the law. The declaration of the righteousness of God. It was given that we might know our sin, being not mixed with faith in those Jews. They could not see because they are still, were still shut up to the grace of God, kept under the law. All you could get was the reading of the law, the declaration of the righteousness of God. Although they used it and corrupted it to justify themselves. But after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent them saying, after they read the law, they said to these people, "You men and brethren, if any..." You notice they're talking to Jews. Now remember, Paul was sent unto the Gentiles. They're here preaching to Jews. There is a time here that God is going to begin the ministry to the Gentiles. And after the reading, they said, "If you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." You got something to say about the scriptures, the reading of the law, some word of exhortation, arise and say it. Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel," listen to this, "men of Israel," this is to those who are of the nation of Israel. And then we find a comma. And we all know what a comma means. There's something added. "And ye that fear God," that's bringing in the Gentiles. "Even under the commandment given to Moses, they were told to love the stranger within their gates." It was not out of failure that God turned to the Gentiles. It was not out of despair to save mankind that God turned to the Gentiles. It was the plan of God. I don't like that word. It was the purpose of God. God had purposed from before the foundation of the world, because even before the world was, God had a people among the Gentiles. Exodus 25, not Exodus, Lord help me, I'm drying far away today. Genesis 25, we find Abraham, and we find his death. But we find there, we'll find in that, it begins with the sons of Keturah, Abraham and Keturah. Sarah had died. Oh, we find in the same chapter the sons of Sarah. We find Isaac. They're coming forth with Jacob, the 12 tribes, the patriarchs, Israel, the seed of Abraham. We also find the sons of Ishmael, because God would have a people from among them also. Because remember, the law and the prophets, the books of Moses and the prophets, all teach of the work of Christ and the coming of Christ. That's why the Bible says that Abraham was a father of many nations, not just Israel. He's showing us in Genesis 25 the sons of Israel. He's showing us the sons of Isaac, from whence Israel came. He's showing us the sons of Ishmael, because God had a people among them. And he's even going to those that were not born of Sarah, but born of Abraham's wife, Keturah. There's his wife, there's his handmaid, there's his second wife, after Sarah had died and had been buried. The sons of Keturah. And I believe verse 3 mentions one called Midian. Isaiah 60, to give you an understanding of this, Isaiah 60 teaches us of the coming of Christ. And arise, shine, for thy light has come. The glory of God has risen upon thee. He speaks about the darkness of the earth. And he says, the Gentiles shall come to thy light. There's proof that Christ would turn them to the light of God. John chapter 1, the light that was the life of men, Jesus Christ, the living word. The Gentiles shall come to thy light. But to stay with the text, verse 6 of Isaiah 60, the multitude of camels shall cover thee. He's talking about those being drawn by the Spirit of God through the revelation of the Son of God to Christ, the Son of God, yea, in fact, God himself manifest in the flesh. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. Here's my point. I'm not going to tarry on it long. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. They shall bring gold and incense. These are the people of the east. They are sons of Keturah. Matthew chapter 2 began telling us of wise men from the east that brought gifts unto him 2 years after he was born, because it took them 2 years to get there. My point in that is to tell you God has a people in the Gentiles and has always had a people in the Gentiles. When Paul, speaking to the Ephesians, said, I'm far away. That's my fault. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before God the Father in love. He's speaking about every child of God, Jew and Gentile alike. Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. And he goes through a discourse with them, much like first two chapters of Acts with Peter. The God of this people, Israel, the God of Israel. Oh, they'd heard the God of Israel, the God of the Hebrews, led them out of Egypt, destroyed Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, destroyed all the enemies of these people. Even though they sinned against God, he led them 40 years in the wilderness that the carcasses of those who walked in unbelief would fall and not enter into the promised land. Even in that, he kept his people Israel. He loved them. That was well known. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, exalted them when they dwelt in strangers, walked 40 years in the wilderness when he destroyed the nations. He divided their land to them by lot in Canaan. He gave them judges for about 400 years, ending with Samuel, who was the last judge and also a prophet. And then he had the first king, because they sinned against God, wanting a king like the other nations had, those that God had separated them from. And God gave them Saul, son of Sish, the tribe of Benjamin, ruled 40 years. And then God raised up a man after his own heart, whose name was David, the eighth son of Jesse. A man after God's heart, which he said in verse 22, which shall fulfill all my will. This is a discourse that Paul is teaching to Jews, men of Israel, and Gentiles, ye that fear God. The gospel was going to the Gentiles. Of this man's seed, verse 23, hath God, according to his promise, and God cannot lie, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. The physical nation of Israel would very soon be no more. It would be taken from an old covenant with a chosen nation to a new covenant with a chosen people. It was not something new because Ephesians 3 says this mystery had been kept from men and had been hidden from men from the foundation of the world. But Paul was sent forth as an apostle and a preacher to reveal this mystery through the Old Testament, through the law and the prophets, that the Gentiles from before the foundation of the world were meant to be, were purposed to be, fellow citizens with the saints of God. That's also in the world. Many people see one life in the Bible. Well, you get saved and you've got eternal life and hallelujah. When did you get saved? When Christ died upon the cross. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. The church did not do it. God did it in the body of the man, Jesus Christ. Of this man's seed, David, to Christ, hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. This is not the physical Israel, although there were some among them which are God's. This is the spiritual Israel, the new kingdom, the new Jerusalem, the new covenant. Both physical and spiritual come together in the day of the resurrection and the inheritance through Christ to immortal glory in heaven above. When John had first preached before the coming of the baptism of repentance, he said, I'm not he. I'm not worthy to loose his shoes. And Paul says here, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham. Here's the Gentiles again. There's the Jews. Here's the Gentiles. The wholeness of the church. The New Testament church. And whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word, the knowledge. How do we have the knowledge? First of all, we have a heart knowledge by being given life from God. He quickened us. He gave us life while we were dead in trespass and sin. That came from Adam. All are dead in trespass and sin. God changes his people by his hand, by his choice, by his work. Let me go ahead to John 1 because that's hit my mind three times since I started this and explain this to you of the power of God in rebirth. It begins talking about the Word of God. Verse 11 said, he came into his own received him not. The word received does not mean that you had a choice in whether you received him or not. He's talking about being born of the Spirit. I'll prove that right now. You had no choice in being born of your parents. You've got no choice in being born of God. That happened. That was the work of your parents. That is the work of God. He came into his own received him not. The word received, especially in speaking, in the context of the Jews, the nation of Israel, is to receive one as one's family, to receive one as a brother, to receive one as oneself, as the family of God. Christ was a Jew. He came to Judea. They received him not. They spurned him as God. We'll see more of that in Acts 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That we've talked about that before. That's not speaking of power to accept eternal life and be a child of God, for that's not of man. That is the work of God. It's talking about power to manifest yourself by God's work as God's children and walking in obedience, magnifying Christ in your body, worshiping God. That all can see the glory of God in you, even to them that believe on his name. Well, see, you've got to believe. Yes, you do. Who gives that to you? Let's see that. Which were born not of blood. It wasn't my seed. It wasn't my wife's seed. Nor of the will of the flesh. It wasn't this man's choice. It wasn't this man's doing who supposedly received him. It's not the will of man, it's not the preacher nor the church that saves you and caused you to be saved. The preaching of the gospel does not save you in the eternal sense. It brings life and immortality to light through the gospel. It teaches us what Christ has done and teaches us how to live and walk. But those born of God, God gave life, and that life is in Christ, and that life is the knowledge of God. The Word was made flesh, that's Christ, and dwelt among us, and we, being the apostolic church of that day, beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Where was I? Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God. Let me give you one more. Joel 2. If I can find the little book between Daniel and Amos, I will read it. Joel 2. I just read it last night. I'm so far away today. Oh, that's Amos. No wonder I can't find it. Verse 2, and it shall come to pass afterward, chapter 2, verse 28, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. That was in that day of the New Testament apostolic church. We don't have that anymore. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. I shall wonders in the heavens and the earth, and blood and fire and pillars and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord. That's in that day. And it shall come to pass, here's my point, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That's Jew and Gentile prophesied in Joel chapter 2. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. What is he saying? Whosoever God will give life amongst the Jews, amongst the Gentiles, shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, we spoke on that 2 weeks now, and in Jerusalem, 2 weeks now, the city of God, shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said, and in the remnant, that's of Israel, the Jews, whom the Lord shall call. That's the Jew and the Gentile. You want a little bit more proof before moving on? Galatians 3:8. And the scripture, that's the word of God, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. There was not a New Testament preacher. There was not even an old covenant priest under the law, for the law was not yet given. We're talking about Abraham. Moses was years after. The law was given years after. But the Scripture, foreseeing the Word of God, purposing before the world was ever created, that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed, Jew and Gentile alike. And that's not speaking of Christ offering himself to the world, because he offered himself to God and God alone. That's not speaking of salvation being delivered to every seed of Adam, but to those that God gave unto the Son. We quote this many times. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again the last day. Those that God gave the Son. Let's go to John and let's see. Jesus said, I am the way, John 14:6, the truth and the life. You talk about coming to God, and I'm going to come to God. Let me tell you how to get there. No man cometh unto the Father, God in heaven, but by me. Well, I made that decision some time back, and I accepted the Lord. Let me tell you what the Bible says. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me. And again, John 6:44. No man, that leaves out all, because none can do it. No man can come to me, Christ, except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Who are they? Those the Father gave the Son, those the Father sent the Son to die for, Jew and Gentile. Israel and Gentile, Jew and Greek, all being made Jew in Christ, because he came from the tribe of Judah and he is our elder brother, because he hath adopted us and God hath caused us to be born again in the nature of Christ, who was a Jew. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you, do you love God? To you is this word sent. I see people that I'm friends with, some were police, some were not. They love the Lord. They talk about the Lord from time to time. They fear God, I assure you, from my knowledge of them. What does that teach me? Even though they don't come to church, even though they don't assemble to worship, that they're God's children. Because to have the knowledge of God, you must be of the elect of God. God chose. God saved. God delivers. I don't know why people don't come to church. Several years I didn't come to church. I was lost in all the things of the world. But I'm going to tell you, when the time comes that God is persistent to you, you will come. It took a lot to get me here, and I'm thankful the Lord was gentle in it. God preserves a remnant. That's not to say we're supposed to be a remnant. We have the opportunity for every child of God born of the Spirit to come to church and flourish. God provided that. He's given to every child of God everything that pertaineth unto life and godliness. They could all be here. Matthew 13 teaches us there's reasons that they don't come. The cares of the world, planted out the row. There's four things there you can look. And you can get just about every reason out of those that men don't come to church. God's children don't come to church. We've got that opportunity, but we're the nature of man, the nature of flesh. if God did not preserve a seed, we'd have long since perished. That's what he said in Romans 11 pertaining to the Jews. Israel, let's back up. I say then, hath God cast away his people, speaking of the Jews? What was the answer? Very quickly, God forbid. God said, I have reserved unto myself 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. God preserves a remnant to bear witness unto him. It's not because they're special above the other children of God. It's because God preserves them to bear witness unto him. We have the opportunity for everyone born of the Spirit to worship God. We're nature. We're in our nature. We're flesh. We're beneath God. We don't do that. We will not do that. If God had not preserved a remnant, we'd no longer be existent. And God preserves a remnant. Israel, speaking of the Jews in the New Testament church, hath not obtained that which he seeketh, but the election hath obtained it. God preserves a remnant. That's not saying only a few that God chose can come into the church. The church of God is open to every repentant sinner. But nature gets in the way. Self gets in the way. And God preserves a remnant. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to Acts 13. They found no cause of death in him. They killed him. They took him down from a tree and laid him in a sepulcher when everything that he came to fulfill was done. And then we have one of those in verse 30 that I love. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen of many witnesses, and he said, we declare unto you glad tidings, how the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled unto the same unto us their children, Jew and Gentile alike, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as he mentions, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, coming forth from the grave after the crucifixion. As concerning he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he said, on this wise I'll give you the sure mercies of David. In God's mercy, David came and did the will that God willed him to do as the king of Israel. They were sure mercies that God worked with the man. Why does he bring that up? Because the sure mercies of God and Jesus Christ that God worked in the body of a man. We have the sure mercies, the certain mercies, the purpose of God, the sure mercies of David. David's dead and gone, but Christ will die no more. Verse 38, I'm going to try to finish with this text. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, remember they're in the synagogue still, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Preached unto you. Preaching the gospel. Talked about the watchman for 2 weeks. Glad tidings of good things. The gospel. The good news. Declaring unto Zion the church, the militant church, a monument, a pillar to God. Declaring thy God reigneth. Through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe, not just the old Jew, are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified. By the law of Moses. That's a slap in the face of the nature of man. And there's not a truer state in the Bible. Because we cannot be just by the law. We cannot be just by works. Our nature is depravity. We're dead in trespass and sin. It's all the work of God. It's all the purpose of God in Jesus Christ, to Jew and Gentile alike, of the elect of God. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. You can find it in several places. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which shall in no wise, you shall in no wise deceive, though a man declare it unto you. You can find that in several places. I'm going to Isaiah 6, because that's the one this text uses more than the others, and I want to stay in the context. We know the situation that God called Isaiah. He saw the Lord high and lifted up above the sin and death in this world. And he says in verse 9, the Holy Spirit, God says, go and tell this people. What people? All that was left was Judea. Israel had ceased to exist. 10.5 tribes. Intermingled amongst the heathen in the world. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. The religious people of the world, God's manifested nation at that time, by the way, in bondage, in slavery, whether they would admit it or not, they were under Roman rule. Go and tell this people, these self-righteous religious leaders whose mouth would serve the Lord, but whose heart was far from Him. Why does God give us a new heart in Ezekiel 37? That we can love. That we can love God, for God is love. That we can love each other. I don't mean the world. I mean the brethren, the church. Speaking of the Jews, back with Isaiah, tell this people indeed, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. And then he says, how long will that be? And he gives them the answer, until the cities of what? Jerusalem be without inhabitant, the houses be without man, the land be utterly desolate, until the time the Romans would destroy it. You'll find that in Romans 11 also, the context of it. That's why he says, except for a remnant of Israel, the Jews, that God would preserve. Now, and by him all that believe, Jew and Gentile, are justified from all things in which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. We just went through that. Lest you be blinded. Lest you be where you cannot hear. We live in a nation, God's people, their conscience is seared with a hot iron, same way in the world. I mention this nation because we live here and because God has blessed this nation because of His church for some 200 years. How far are we from total blindness? How far are we from not hearing the Word of God at all? Many today do not wish to hear it. These were no different. When the Jews, verse 42, Acts 13, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. What's this? These heathen wanted to hear this preached. Why? Because the old prophet said, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Christ said, a body hast thou prepared me. And he prepared a body for the to live in, to walk in, to die in, to raise up, to live again, to sit at the right hand of the majesty on high. God prepared that body. God also prepared the body of Christ, meaning the children of God, each and every one which is the body of Christ, over which He is the head. God prepared them. God gives them life. God quickens them. Jew and Gentile alike, they seek the Lord because they have a yearning in their heart to find God. And God sends them men in the ministry to expound upon that, to teach them of the God of heaven and immortal glory, the God that came to this world and laid His life down and raised it up again, and now how to live and how to worship, for they were once Gentiles, and these things were all strangers to them, and those that were Jews had been carried away from it. But God provided that too. In the ministry. Now when the congregation was broke up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Here's the last text. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together. Lord, if we could see that today. To hear the Word of God. The Spirit of God gives you life. The Spirit of God causes you to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Almost the entire city, at the sound of the gospel, they say in Acts 2, 3,000 souls added in one day. The whole city, almost, came together to hear the Word of God. But when the Jews, here's human nature, saw the multitudes, there's the jealousy. There's the envy. They hated Christ because He was better than they are. We're the elect of God. We're Abraham's seed. We're not born of fornication. Who was your father? We know Mary was with child before she was married. Wasn't about Abraham. It was about the Lord. Envy. The multitudes. The popularity. The rule. The authority. And oh yes, in their eyes, the gold and the silver, which they valued more than the very temple itself. Robbing widows, fatherless, and the poor, who had very little to start with. Is it any different today? But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. That's not true. That's not true. Can you not see where he says those that received him gave him power to become sons of God? They had to make a decision. They had to make a choice. We've already proven by that very text. That's not the truth. God gave them life. God caused them to receive him, to know him, to receive the fact that he is God, to accept the fact that he is God, that he's sovereign, that he works his way in the heaven and the earth. The whole city came together. The Jews got mad, filled with envy, and spoke things contradicting to the very gospel that was spoken by Paul. Remember where we started now. A light to the Gentiles. To preach the gospel, to turn them from Satan to the power of Satan, to the power of God. Preaching the gospel. Don't tell me it's not important. The Bible testifies it is. And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Why? Matthew 10, go ye not into Samaria or any of the cities of the Gentiles, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let me very briefly sum that up because I don't have time to get into it, and I have given you parts of it before. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember in Zechariah, speaking of God destroying the city and of rebuilding it, Jew and Gentile alike. Remember in Ezekiel 37, speaking of the resurrection of the dead, the whole house of Israel. Remember taking the two staffs and putting them together, one for Jerusalem and their people, and one for Ephraim in the north and his people, Jew and Gentiles together. Romans 11, both together. They were cut off until that generation was destroyed, till the cities be waste without inhabitant, and then they brought together in the New Testament church. It was necessary that the Word of God... Why did God wait? Because His time, 7 or 8 years after He called Paul, the time was now here. It was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. That was not desperation. That was not trying to save everybody in the world. It was bringing the mystery hidden from the foundation of the world, Ephesians 3, to light to the generation, this generation, a chosen generation, Peter said. The church of the living God, the New Testament church, Jew and Gentile alike, manifesting God as a people. Serve God, His people. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee, they turn to the elect of God among the Gentiles. I'll prove that in the next two verses. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee, this is Christ, to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Isaiah 60, Isaiah 49 will both confirm that, and other places. Christ, the light of God, John 1 says He is the light, which is the life of men. The knowledge of God is life. And John 17:3, you can read it yourself. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That is life eternal, to know God. Verse 48, to finish my text, this is what put all this on my mind. And when the Gentiles, because the salvation of God was sent to the elect of God among the Gentiles, because God was going to gather His people together in Christ. Acts 28:28, Paul speaking to Jews who came to him in his house. Back up a few verses to 28:24, you see some believed and some didn't. Some of those that did not believe were blinded. How were they blinded? Well, that wasn't fair, God, to blind them. Don't tell me what's not fair with God. God is just. God said, I formed light, create darkness. I make peace, I create evil. That doesn't mean God makes sin. That means God gave us the example. I formed the light, and I make darkness. How does God make darkness? By removing the light. I make peace. God's presence is there. I create peace and I make evil. How does God make evil? By removing His presence. You see that in this country. How did God make them blind? He kept it from them. Speaking of those people among the Jews, Matthew 13, Jesus told His disciples, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and to them it's not. Well, the wicked will never know it. They're left in their state of nature. They'll die. They'll be in the everlasting lake of fire. They'll never know God as the God of love and grace and loving His people. Those that were blinded in that generation did not know God. Many are blinded this day and age because of the things we find of self in Matthew 13. But let me finish my text in verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. They are those that hear it. This teaches us this next verse. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Aren't you glad? And glorified the word of the Lord. Now, listen to this as plainly as the text gives it. There's a colon and then this sentence. And as many, those the Father gave. Those that come to God in Christ, sacrifice, and resurrection. Those the Father draws. And as many as were ordained. When were they ordained? According as He has chosen us in Him from before the foundation of the world. Peter said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Paul said, as many as He foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, the firstborn among many brethren. As many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. Every child of God will believe in their heart between conception and the womb. Yes, John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb. How did he hear? How did he know that Christ was in his mother's womb? Because the Spirit of God makes that connection. Just like the thief upon the cross that had railed against the Lord at the very point of death itself, just before, sometime before his legs were broken, they allowed him to die. What made him cry out for mercy to God? The Spirit of God. Why? Because he was ordained to eternal life from before the foundation of the world. In the purpose of an almighty, all-powerful, all-wise King of all creation who came to this world and saved them. It's important to join the church. It's important to learn and have peace with God in the assembly. And I'll pound on that as long as I'm able to stand and do it. It glorifies God. It's good for you. It's good for your family. And it's good for the church that you're a part of. But everyone that is ordained to eternal life will believe in a heart knowledge, as it's been called, because God will be there in that heart somewhere between conception and death, because they have to be changed from the nature of Adam to the nature of Christ in order to enter in the presence of Christ at death. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.